Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th hour apostolic set of Chinese congregation right now at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 16, 2017. Hour is 8:25, 2021. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled The Last Mile of the Way. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King and His beauty. Will have gone the last mile of the way. Will have gone the last mile of the way. Rest at the close of the day, and I know the joy that await me when I have gone the last mile of the way. If I just show up a plane, the glad story, if I see for his sheep gone astray, I'm sure he will show me his glory when I have gone the last mile of the way. When I have gone the last mile of the way, then I rest at the close of the day. When all the joys that await me have gone the last mile of the way. Hear the dear, sometimes we miss every. Here's a sorrow seen every day, but no sickness, no sign for the heifer, but I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me. The last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried on His will to obey, well, then ask one of a children of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Part two, Children of the Barren. We're on page 11, one time of reading number 39. Okay. It says, Isaiah 54:12, do a little review from our last study. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of the carbuncles, and all thy borders of the pleasant stones. But if the literal use of the windows is for the giving of the light and the air, then what should this symbolism denote if not for seers, those who bring light and truth unto the congregation of Yahweh, and if the literal gates are used to keep out the undesirable element, then in the spiritual realm they must symbolize as for watchmen the minister. What a wonderful illustration. What a sanctified group of the people. It's vividly projects stones of the fair colors and foundations of the sapphires, windows of the agates, gates of the carbuncle, and all her borders of the pleasant stone, every soul a jewel. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of the Ophir. Isaiah 13:12. Mount Zion, for the Mount Zion's sake, says the Yahweh, will I not hold my peace, and for the Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of Yeshua. That's the song. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Isaiah 62:1-4. Now it is plainly seen that the letter sinism shall forever pass away, that the Yahweh will have a pure congregation without a spot, a wrinkle, or any such thing. For you cannot afford to be left out of it. You must join the advocates of this truth given unto the house of David, the successor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the Gilead Center in Sherman, Texas in 2002-2003. If you are to become a part of this glorious movement, Isaiah 54:13-17. And all thy children shall be told to Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come anear unto thee. Behold, they shall utterly gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created a smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created a waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Yahweh. Evidently, we are slow to be convinced that the mighty Yahweh of the Jacob is able to protect and to keep us from the evil, else he would not be trying time and again to convince us of his ability, further explaining that as he has created the smith and the waster and has put them to work, just so he is able for the making of their instruments and efforts of none effect. But the Yahweh's persuasion, you see, is such that a little child can understand all these promises, can understand. For all these promises are the heritage of the servants of the Yeshua. How can we afford to let them go? Are they not cheap enough? Since faith is all they cost, let us therefore believe, and they shall be ours forevermore. We have now learned that the Abraham's two wives and two sons are an allegorical forecast of the Old and the New Testament congregation, that the Ishmael's arrival prefigured fleshly Israel, and that the Isaac's arrival prefigured spiritual Israel. The apostolic Nazarene believers, that the Ishmael persecuting Isaac was a forecast of the Jews persecuting the apostolic Nazarene believers and followers, that the Abraham's act of the disinheriting and sending Hagar and her son away from their home is with the foreshadowing of, it was for the foreshadowing of the Yahweh's act of the putting away and disinheriting of the fleshly Israel. That reaches clear on down to our time, because we have the fleshly Israel clear up through the 11th parabolic hour until the judgment of the dead closes and the judgment of the living begins. All the fleshly Israel has been in charge of the kingdom, except for that little interval at the cross when Yahshua set up the kingdom of grace that temporarily reigned in the place of fleshly Israel. Spiritual Israel of Isaac, descendants, had a short reign in the first century after Yahshua's resurrection. Foreshadowed Yahweh's act of putting away and disinheriting fleshly Israel, that only those who are born again, born of the Spirit. Now this is very good here. I have in front of me on my screen the word Spirit, and I pulled it up on the Strong's Concordance, and it's mentioned 505 times. And so now, the Spirit is probably the top five most important words in our vocabulary. You have Yahweh, the Father, His Son, Yahshua, and the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is the third most important word mentioned in our vocabulary. Will inherit the kingdom. That Isaac, who came into this world only by the power of the Yahweh, foreshadowed the apostolic congregation of the apostles of the Nazarene Creed, really, especially of the soon coming kingdom, everlasting kingdom of the David, where there is to be no Ishmaelite or no person brought in by the will of the flesh, and definitely no terrors, no bad fish, and no ghosts, really only saints, only such as should be saved. And no one can be such as should be saved if he does not believe what the Word said. If he does not take his stand on the truth side, only they that hunger for the truth and righteousness will be filled and become his precious jewels, fit to be a part of this Yahweh's jewel building, and they shall be, and they shall be mine, saith Yahshua of the host. Now Yahshua is the name of the Father, meaning Yahshua, his son, represents the salvation of the Father. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not, Malachi 3:17 and 18. For it is a terrible thing to disbelieve in the word of Yahweh, or to be indifferent, indecisive, and inactive. Okay, that ends that study of the children of the barren, more than the children of the barren woman. Okay, so that ends number 39, time of reading 1. Time of greetings, number 40, we're going to continue on until the Spirit leads us elsewhere. Text for the prayer, for time of greetings, volume 1, number 40, a battle and a march. Mount of Blessing, 203, for the antitypical apostolic life is as a battle and a march. For the victory to be gained is not won by the human power. For the field of the conflict is in the domain of the heart. For the old nature, born of the blood and of the will of the flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of the Yahweh. So now, do you know why so many families are not spiritual? There's just so many millions of them, and they never ever become converted and become spiritual. They just go on, and they raise up families, and their families continue on. Because they're not preordained from the foundation of the world to begin with. And it's a sad commentary that they happen to fall into the line of the seed of the born of the flesh and never of the spirit line. For the hereditary tendency, the former habits must be given up. He who determines for the entering into the spiritual kingdom will find that all of the powers and passions of the unregenerate nature, backed by the forces of the kingdom of the darkness, are arrayed against him. Selfishness and pride will make a stand against anything that would show them to be sinful. For we cannot of ourselves conquer the evil desires and habits that strive for the mastery. We cannot overcome the mighty foe who holds us in his thrall. For Yahweh alone can give us the victory. For he desired us to have the mastery over ourselves, our own will and ways. But he cannot work in us without our consent and cooperation. For the divine spirit works through the faculties of and powers given unto the man. For our energies are required to cooperate with the Yahweh's energies. For the old nature, the nature that we are born with, cannot inherit the kingdom of the Yahweh. According unto this reading, our need is to pray for the ability to surrender our hearts all unto the Yahweh. When we do this, we shall be quite different than what we are now, that our old natures will vanish away. That's the end of the prayer thought. Okay, the topic for this subject, number 40, is Zion and the height of her glory. Okay, it says that the study is to be taken from the 60th chapter of the Isaiah. There we read, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Well, the first thing we need to know in this study is that the person whom the inspiration asks to arise, well, this chapter being a continuation of the 54th chapter of the Isaiah, we will therefore are there for the information. For there is shown that it is the barren woman, Yahweh's servants in the apostolic congregation of the apostles, for he is with the calling of his congregation for the arising and for the shining, because of her, that her light is come. As unto whether he is addressing his servants at the present time, in the past or in the future, let us read again. For thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land for ever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Isaiah 60, verse 21. This verse does not say that her people are already righteous, but that they shall be righteous. It does not say that they have inherited the land, but that they shall inherit the land. For his pure congregation, therefore, will be purified and made white by the Yahweh doing away with the tares. For since her people have never, unto this day, been all righteous, then it is plain to see that the fulfillment of the prophecy is yet future, and in the view of the fact that our message is with the announcing of the imminent purification of the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, for the time in the, that the angels are sent for the sifting out of all the hypocrites from among the faithful, for the time that the net is drawn unto the shore, and the bad fish cast out, and the cleansing of the sanctuary, for the starting of the judgment for the living in the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, is about to begin. All right, let's read that again. And for the cleansing of the sanctuary, for the beginning of the judgment for the living, in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, is with the beginning of this cleansing. At the Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Gilead Center, with the first, with the angel of the seven candlestick, Revelation 3:14, and beginning at the, and the ancient man before the house, beginning at the house of Yahweh, Ezekiel 9:6, is with the beginning at 2002 in the Kermit, Texas. For the inspiration, therefore, in this chapter is with the address of the Yahweh's congregation at this particular time. What time? 2002, at Kermit, Texas. Since we now see that this chapter contains important time to choose, we shall study it verse by verse. Now, here's this important time to choose. All these time to choose are contemporary and applicable at the time that they are revealed unto the prophet that is in charge of the candlestick, whatever time period he is in. This was applicable in about 1931, where V.T. Holliff was in charge of the candlestick, of the Shepherd's Rod, of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, one in charge of the present truth that must be published and given unto the mother church, the Seventh-day Adventist. All right. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, 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 shine, it says, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Yahweh is lit upon thee. Who can truthfully say that our light has not come, that our message is not of the time of truth? None who are in the contact with the truth, for I am sure. For the inspiration is, therefore, with the inviting of the Elohim's people, that is, the denomination of the Seventh-day Adventists, along with us, to arise and shine. For the word shine is what we must study next, that we may know what is required of us. A black, dirty object never reflects. It consumes all the light unto itself. The moon shines because its surface is of the white substance. If it were made of the black substance, it could not reflect any light whatever. For the same is true with the spiritual light. If we are eager for this to shine, we must now arise and clean up, put away our filthy garments, take an active part in this revival and reformation, under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Stupidity, fanaticism, and independence, or indifference, must be abandoned, and the divine of thinking put into the action. So commands the Yahweh. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, for he will abundantly pardon. Now we know that the Savior has the power to pardon and to forgive sins right there on the spot. He did Mary Magdalene, the harlot. Okay, he did others. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Yahshua. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not thither, verily watering the earth, and making it bring forth and bud, that the earth may give seed unto the sower, and bread unto the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto the void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Isaiah 55:7-11. We must clean up our thoughts, our ways, our bodies, our clothes, our homes, inside and out. Cleanness is the righteousness. Elohim's government is law and order, peace and righteousness, joy and contentment. Thus we need to be polished by the Spirit of the Yahweh. The altogether Christian, if we are to shine, if we are ever for the reflection of the Word of Yahweh, unto those who sit in the darkness, you have taken care of all the things the message teaches, since as your supreme duty and divine privilege, take what inspiration says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Those who are now sitting down as the dark objects, consuming the light unto themselves, should now embrace the opportunity and welcome the privilege. Today is your opportunity. Isaiah 60:2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Yahshua shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. For the word behold connotes that if you look, you can see the signs of the darkness already hovering above you. Gross darkness means that the people will be at a complete loss for the knowing which way to turn, that they will be entirely confused and perplexed. Okay, so now we have a statement that talks about the gross darkness of the people and the scriptures. Now here is what happened to Gilead Center at the Kermit, Texas. Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, gross darkness means the ultimate darkness. The Adventists weren't in gross darkness until Brother Johnson rejected that message I gave him July 14, 2002 at Kermit. That's when gross darkness enveloped the whole Adventist church, starting with Gilead Center. And then Jeremiah 13:16 says, give glory unto Yahweh your Elohim, before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for the light, he turned it into the shadow of the death and make it gross darkness. Now one of your key words here is upon the dark mountains. The dark mountains are the seven mountains of Asia. They're the seven churches of Asia, Revelation 1. Where Yahshua walked in the midst of the seven candlesticks that represents the seven churches of Israel in seven different periods of time from the creation of the first mountain, and that was Ephesus. And you know, Revelation chapter 1 gives the name of all seven of these churches, these seven mountains. Now, he says to the prophet, Brother W. Johnson, he says, give glory unto Yahweh your Elohim, before the darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. Because you're already been established in the top of these dark mountains with Gilead Center. Says so in Isaiah 10 and Micah 4, and it says so in Daniel chapter 2. You were established in the top of these dark mountains of Israel, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because you was made the angel of the seventh candlestick, which represents all seven of those mountains, all in one candlestick. And you stumbled. You stumbled upon your mountain of Laodicea. And so because that, Jeremiah sends you a warning, Jeremiah 13:16. Give glory unto the Yahweh your Elohim, before he causes the darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for the light, he turned it into the shadow of death. So while you're looking for the light now, he turns it into the shadow of death. What does that remind you of? Shadow of death. That reminds me of Psalms 23. It reminds me of Psalms 23. It says, Yahshua is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Now this is a psalm that I rightfully claim for myself. For he caused me, he became my shepherd when I was born, became my shepherd when I was born in 1938. And so I can claim this psalm for my very own, because I represent the scientifical David now in my 80th year that I am in right now. I'm more 80 than I am 79. And so I can claim that for 80 years that I've been walking through this valley and about to be emerged upon the other side. Okay, very good. Let us continue our study now where I left off. Let's continue our study. Now is our opportunity for the responding unto the Yahshua's call and to get ready for the meeting of the situation. For we should now fully realize that we are in the reality call to be the light unto the denomination and ultimately unto the world. Wonderful indeed that we should be chosen of the chosen ones from among the great masses of the world. We cannot afford to miss on this privilege at now. Isaiah 60 verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come unto thy light, and kings unto the brightness of thy rising. We are now the most obscure people in the world. Really, the day is already here that we shall be best known. And that we shall be best known here is the sure promise that if we now arise from the sitting down and for the making of the effort for the reach of the Yahweh's set goal for the for us, the result shall be that the Gentiles shall come unto our light and the kings unto the brightness of our rising. This is the acceptable day for you. Isaiah 60 verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together, they come unto thee. Thy sons shall come from far and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Even now if we lift up our spiritual eyes, says Yahweh, we shall see that all things are now ready. For the call along with the signs of the time is very plain for the one to suppose that the day is very far off. For our sons and our daughters in this message are soon to be gathered unto us from the ends of the earth. So all these Gentiles and kings that's going to be gathered unto us, they are genealogically connected to this lineage of David, first and foremost, and then of all the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. They're the spiritual lineal descendants by the blood of the Jacob's 12 sons. Okay. Isaiah 60 verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the force of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. When this comes to pass, then the remnant shall plainly see and flow together, for the abundance of the wealth of the Gentiles shall be turned over unto them. Isaiah 60, verse 69. For the multitude of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of the Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Yahweh. All of the flocks of the Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. And the rams of the Neboeth shall minister unto thee, for they shall come up with the acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove unto their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of the Tarshish first, for the bringing of thy sons from far, for their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Yahweh thy Elohim, and unto the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. Our sons and daughters in the faith shall come as a storm by the air, and by the sea they shall come, because the Yahshua will glorify all of his redeemed people. For the call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, Revelation 18:4, shall indeed, along with the wealth of the Gentiles, bring out of a great multitude that no man can number. Revelation 7:9. Isaiah 60:10. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, verily in my favor have I had mercy on thee. In the Ezra and Nehemiah's time, the people of Yahweh, the Jews themselves, had to build against great odds. Verily, for the congregation purified, the Gentiles shall gladly build. Not only the common people, but even their kings are to minister unto the service of Yahweh. Kings are now the bosses, but the day is almost here in which Elohim's servants shall boss the kings, and the kings shall be glad to be bossed by them. Okay, so Donald Trump is a king of the spiritual Babylon of today. He's overthrown the last evil king, Obama, and typical Belshazzar. And so now Yahweh's purified servants, the house of David, is going to be their bosses. I've always felt this in my heart, that this is what's happening. And Yahweh is shaping us up, putting us in the position. But we have to become sanctified, purified, and made white before we can be placed in charge of the kingdoms of this world. Isaiah 60:11. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Because of our response unto the Elohim's call, and because of our rising for the shine for him, many people shall say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:3. For this very obvious reason, the gates, as it were, would have to stay open day and night in order for the accommodating of the traffic for the incoming saints with the wealth of the Gentiles and with their kings. Plainly then, the great need is not the harvest. Let's read that again. Plainly, for the great need is not the harvest of the end-getting campaign, not the multitude collection, not the books sale days, and not any goal-raising campaign, only for the taking of this gold and oil for our lamps, and for the arising and shining is what the congregation needs today. Well, we have this golden oil, and we must be purified and healed physically and spiritually. So he's telling us to rise and shine today and to be counted. Isaiah 60:12-13. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. For the glory of the Lebanon shall come unto thee, for the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, for the beautifying of the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. For the place where the Yahshua's feet shall then stand is in the valley of the mountains, Zechariah 14:5. For it is to be made most glorious. What a beautiful, bright future for the kingdom of the heaven, with the holy city coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, because that plain is being made ready for the everlasting kingdom of the David, the physical kingdom that is being made up right now that we can see with our eyes, that we won't be able to behold it after it becomes purified. And after that, only the purified saints coming into it can behold it, not the wicked. They won't accept it to begin with. Isaiah 60:14-16. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending under thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, whereas thou hast been forsaken, and hatest that no man went through thee. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of the many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of the kings, and thou shalt know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the Mighty One of the Jacob. Now, when it says, Mighty One of the Jacob, it means that Jacob, when he wrestled with that angel all night, was wrestling with the Mighty One. He was wrestling with Yahshua. That's why Yahshua himself says, I am the Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob did not prevail over the angel. He prevailed with the angel. And the angel gave him a blessing. Alright? As the babies are admirably treated and nursed, so shall the Gentiles and their kings gladly wait on the saints, and from their abundance shall cheerfully feed Elohim's servant. Isaiah 60:17. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Yes, better than the best shall the house of Elohim be built. Isaiah 60:18. Thou shalt no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. Now when the world needs and longs for the peace more than ever before, Yahweh, who only is able to give it, is loudly declaring that those who really want peace can have it if they but come unto Him. This hope and faith and the promises of the Yahweh is even now to be our only peace of the mind if we really believe. Isaiah 60:19-22. For the sun shall be no more thy light by the day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Yahshua shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Yahweh is the glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Yahshua shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. The Yahweh will hasten it in his time. And all of Elohim's servants, as one arise and shine, then a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Then the saints will be put together in wickedness brought unto an end. Well, wickedness is on its way out, even as we speak today. For this is Elohim's way for the finishing of the Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L, his work. We had better abandon our man-conceived ideas of it and wholeheartedly respond to the Yahweh's call if we expect to survive through the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, if we expect for the rejoicing in the height of the Zion's glory. If we stand faithful unto Elohim's word, we shall finally behold all these wonders and live forevermore. Well, that ends number 40, Time of Reading, Volume 1, entitled Zion and the Height of Her Glory. Let us continue on now. We just have about 5 minutes left. Let's read the text of prayer for number 41 of Time of Reading, Volume 1. Willing to be made willing. I shall read from the Mount of the Blessing, beginning on the page 204, with the first paragraph. For the victory is not won without much earnest prayer, without the humbling of the self at every step. Our will is not to be forced into the cooperation with the divine agency, but it must be voluntarily submitted. Were it possible to force upon you with 100-fold greater intensity the influence of the Spirit of Yahweh, it would not make you a Christian, a fit subject for the heaven. For we must be placed on the side of the Yahweh's will. You are not able of yourself to bring your purposes and desires and inclinations into the submission unto the will of Yahweh, but if you are willing, be made willing, Yahweh will accomplish the work for you. But many are attracted by the beauty of the Yahshua and the glory of the heaven, who yet shrink from the conditions by which alone these can become their own. For the renouncing of their own will, the chosen objects of the affection or pursuit requires the sacrifice at which they hesitate and falter and turn back. Many will seek for the entering in and shall not be able. What are we to pray for this evening? Let us remember that self is the only barrier between us and the Yahweh, that Yahweh will never force us to come unto him. Let us ask him for the power to use the grace he so freely provides, for he would not have made us free moral agents if he did not expect us to use our wills. We should ask him to help us to be willing to be made willing, and then join our wills unto his, and so work out our own salvation. For we need the strength of the Yahshua for the resisting of all evil, for the overcoming of the world as the Yahshua overcame. So we need Yahshua's strength that Yahweh give him the Father. Well, that ends the prayer thought for Time of Reading, Volume 1, Number 41. And we have about 4 minutes left. For the fruits of the Anointed One is the name of our next topic. It says, text of address, May the 17th, 1947, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. For the Spirit of the Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because the Yahweh hath anointed me for the preaching of the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captive, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, for the proclaiming the acceptable year of Yahweh, and the day of the vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. So now this spirit is upon us today. And that's my key word also today, is the spirit. And he says, Yahshua has anointed me. He has anointed you, David number two, Jeff White, Africa. He's anointed you. And so therefore you come into this category of the anointed ones of the earth that have been granted the permission and entrusted with the everlasting truth of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant for all of Africa, especially for all of Africa, beginning with Africa. Naturally, it was spread from your nation unto your neighboring nations in time. Well, these are the two verses that the Yahshua read as he stood in the synagogue of the city of the Nazareth, or the place where he was brought up. He read these verses and then sat down without making any comment, as his listeners were still in a stupor as to why he had read and then had sat down without adding a word. But Yahshua arose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." For the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that the Yahweh Elohim had anointed him to preach the good tidings. Your key word is anointing. And anointed. Anointed is a past tense adverb. Or a noun, I mean. It's a past tense a noun, which would be a pronoun. And him to preach the tidings unto the new, implying that if Yahweh had not anointed him for the preaching, for the Spirit of Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed for the preaching unto the meek, unto those who are not self-sufficient, not high-minded, not but humble and teachable, for the only class could not be taught. He was to comfort all that mourn, to bind the brokenhearted, for the proclaiming of the liberty unto the captives, not to free them immediately, for the acceptable year of the Yahshua is for the time that the scripture is with the fulfilling, for the time it is with the unsealing and proclaiming. For those who give no heed unto it are to be swept away in the day of his vengeance. These were the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed. Unbelief and indifference is revealed. Truth is an insult unto Yahweh and a sin against the Holy Spirit who leads into all the truth. I want to make another word, a point about this word anointed. It applies to anyone Yahweh has chosen and anointed to preach the present truth today, because they will repeat the same truth that Yahshua had taught unto the humble back then. This brings the close of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And if number 11, click on the audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. And bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and passed the rest so far to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. For all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There Yahshua with the Father forever reigns and scatters night away. I'm bound for the promised land, yes I am. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and don't let me abandon the promised land? No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can resettle for sure. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death, health and fear no more. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and don't let me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land, yes I am. I am bound for the promised land. Let me, I am bound for the cross.